Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampello and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to the Raven on this 20th day of February 2008. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello.
Say hi, Mandy.
Hi. I'm having phone issues now. I can't get away with not having something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Am I crackly to you guys?
The tech department.
Yeah, we do. We need someone other than me. So anyone out there who wants to be our tech department, let us know. We pay
nothing.
Notice
how she didn't pass it off to me.
Yeah.
I'm still reliving the Hotmail incident of...
Oh my God, it's HTML.
I kept calling it Hotmail. Yeah.
Yes, that's very cute.
Yes, yeah. I'm adorable.
Mm.
Princess Michelle.
Yeah.
Get away from my crown.
So did you have anything exciting happen in the last week?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a dead week, I think, you know, work and more work and more work. That was pretty much it. But today we have a very exciting show. Wild, Wicked, and Wanton New York author J.C. Burton joins us to talk about books, her sex demon on Harleys, Demon Islands, paranormal, and whatever else we can rope her into talking about. We also are going to bug her about her new release, Riding Wild from Berkeley Heat, so that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
Listeners, you are welcome to call in and talk to J.C. or ask her questions. The call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, and long-distance charges will apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during the broadcast, just go to ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio. Or you can email us questions in advance to ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
Yes.
And
I have nothing to add to that. Okay, let me just tell the story. We have show outlines that help us, and I went to print mine like a minute before the show started, and I realized I'm out of ink. So I'm, yeah, and I'm not talented enough to like flip between five screens, so I'm just winging it. Yeah, go for it, Michelle. I'll follow.
I am in charge.
Oh, I'm
well,
sorry,
everyone.
Everybody.
I would like to announce that Mandy is working on DOD 11. It says it right here on the outline. I just typed it in.
I may not have the outline, but it's still the button.
I can still mute you.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, I'm excited about JC being here. Not only does she have all the Berkeley Heat stuff, she also has the Demon Island series, which I'm hoping we can get her to talk about because I really like that.
And
you hate anything paranormal, right?
Crazily prolific, you know.
Yeah. Oh, she makes me sick about what she writes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at her schedule right now for some of the books that she has coming out. She's got a bunch with Berkeley, Battenhamdale, and Sam Hain. And offhand, I'm saying there's at least 10 just up until, like, the spring of next year. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I say I would beat her up when she gets here. We, like, throw heavy objects at her.
Well, I'm sorry. I had the bucket of water latched over the door. Was that
Oh, my gosh.
And she's so nice and sweet that you just kind of hate to, you know, let her go under the bucket. But
really? No, I'll shove her. It's okay.
I'm waiting. Never mind.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have a caller. It may be her. I'm not sure. Like I said, I can't print out my outline. So who the heck is calling? I don't know. I don't know the numbers now. Okay. It's going to be a fun show, isn't it?
Wow. My name is so lost. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. They hung up. Whoever was hung up.
They ran away from you. You know, someday just to mess with you, I'm going to break into your house and, like, reorganize all your files.
Oh, stop it. I'll never be able to find anything again.
And it'll be fun to watch you run around.
Yeah.
Pulling out your hair and crying.
I can't deal when it's not right. I always have my outline to the left of me. I have my coffee right in front of me. To the right of me, I have a notepad with a pencil in case someone says something I'd like to question about later. And now I feel totally misplaced, out of the loop, and I can't do it now. I just feel like I surrender.
Yeah, see, I got my feet kicked up to the right of me. The coffee is somewhere around here.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, guys, if you have any questions for J.C., go ahead and call in, and it's 646-595-3998, or you can hop in the chat room. You can ask them there, and we'll pass them on. You could email them to us, but I say I check the email during it. I really don't. I'm sorry. I just, like I said, I can't do that many things at one time. I'm not that talented. But we do have some emails from before we're trying to get to real quick. And I'm going to paraphrase here since I have nothing in front of me that actually says it anymore. They would like to know what we're going to be co-authoring again and when, or if we're going to be co-authoring again and when.
Oh, well, really, that all lays on Mandy's shoulders. So harassment emails can be directed to mandyroth.com.
Bit.
That's always my answer. Oh, Mandy's the holdup. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I could have 20 of our things on my computer and be like, oh, yeah, it's Mandy's turn. I'm waiting on her. Hate mail that direction. Love mail to me. No, we did turn in Pleasure Cruise 3, which I think we already talked about.
Yeah, we did. We
on
did.
One of the shows. But we understand if you can't listen to every single show.
Right.
Although you should be flogged for it. We should be mandatory listening.
Yeah.
Barbed
wire whips. We're really good on that. Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know if we got this into the Raven Radio mail or not, because I kind of lose track of what comes where.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have you. But I've been getting a lot of questions about Stop Dragging Your Heart Around.
Yes.
And, like, are we going to write a book, too?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a special collection anthology, and we haven't really discussed that with the publisher, is kind of
right.
the short answer of that one.
Right.
We do.
You're welcome to harass them, and then maybe they'll harass us.
Yeah, if you want things done, harass the editors.
Yeah.
Cause,
that was a lot
yeah.
of fun to do, and we didn't plan to do anything more with it, and I was really surprised that it took off the way that it did, and I've been very surprised at the reader response and the wanting more from it.
Well, the ebook response was, you know, all right, you know, not our biggest response on any, you know, of our book.
Right, right.
But when the print version came out,
exactly.
for some reason, as all of a sudden I'm getting these emails, and I'm like, you want the book for Lori? Who are you talking about? And it was
yeah.
Lawrence. And his nickname was Lori in the book. But I'm
yeah.
like, Lori? I don't have a Lori.
I always feel bad when everyone remembers my character's names better than me. I'll be like, who are they asking for? And I have to, like, search my own file, and I'm like, oh, crap, yeah, sorry.
Well, they said Lori, and I'm thinking of automatically girl's name. And I'm
right.
looking through all my, you know, newer releases. I started looking through your releases, and I'm like, Lori,
right.
I don't have a Lori. Did I have a Lori? And I, you know, I'm reading the blurbs, like, well, you know, Lori. And then, you know, Lawrence from, yeah, Stop Dragon.
Yeah.
It took me a second, but I got it.
I
Yay,
think.
We have a visitor.
I know. I feel like Romper Stomp or Bomper Boo.
Look into the magic mirror. Say my name.
Hey, welcome to the Raven. Is this JC?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, ladies.
She's got that sexy, deep voice. I love that. I mean, now that I'm done.
Ooh.
Don't turn it to that kind of show, Mandy.
Damn.
It's not.
Go through the rough. Well, thank
All
you for
right,
joining
because
us.
You want it to be.
Oh, good. Mandy promised me it would be.
Yes, and that we're going to have film footage on YouTube later. So, yeah.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'll let my husband know.
I'll let mine know, too. It'll be exciting. Any action's happening lately, really. Oh, my gosh. Now, for anyone who might not know who you are, you want to take a second and introduce yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name is JC Burton. I am an author, and I write paranormal romance, erotic romance, general romance. I write for Bantam Dell. I write for Berkeley Publishing, and I write for Samhain Publishing. And I also have books out with Alora's Cave. So I'm pretty much everywhere.
And you need a cape and tights.
Wow,
woman.
Sometimes it seems that way, yes.
Yeah, we were being jealous earlier on the upcoming from JC page on your website. You've got what?
Oh, I don't know why you guys should be jealous. Yeah, I don't know why you guys should be jealous. You're both pretty prolific too.
Yes, but you're actually getting them done. I'm just thinking about working on mine.
1,500 works in progress.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
true. Now, see, I'm jealous of Mandy because Mandy has like 9,000 files with like, oh yeah, I have that book I'm working on, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one.
I swear I have writing ADD.
She'll just finish them all at once.
Yeah.
And
now you,
with Mandy.
You just had a book release, correct, on the 5th of February?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just had one out February 5th that Riding Wild with Berkeley just released.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Riding Wild is a contemporary erotic romance, and it's the first book in a brand new series about the Wild Riders, which are Harley riding government agents. They work undercover. And what they do is they steal back what the government can't legally. So So they work semi-illegally, but for the government, and they're hot, they're sexy, and they ride Harleys.
Okay, I'm grinning from ear to ear, thinking, yeah, does it get better than that? I think not, my friend.
It's a really fun series. I'm having a blast writing it.
And it is super sexy. I mean, I don't know if anyone out there has read your erotic works in that, but oh my gosh, you can just, wow, yeah. So make sure, you know, nice cool bath going for when you're done, the whole works, because wow. And seriously, a guy in a Harley, do you even need?
Too.
Yeah. Oh, I know the cover. It's great. Did you
have
next book up yet, or are you waiting to post that up? I'm not sure. I'm browsing around on your site now.
No, I don't have the cover up yet. I did get the cover for the next book, and I have the back cover copy is up on my website,
okay.
The blurb on the book. But the cover isn't up yet because they're doing some tweaks to it, so I should have that up soon. I've seen it, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very sexy.
Definitely.
But that'll
yeah.
be that the second book, Writing Temptation, will be out in October, and that one is Diaz and Jesse's story. You meet both of them in the first book.
Okay.
And that one takes place in Arkansas during a bike rally, and that storyline involves taking down some arms-dealing survivalists. So I had a lot of fun with that one.
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited. I can't wait for these. I've not actually read these yet, which is unusual, because normally I read everything before it comes out for you. So I'm excited about these.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm excited, too. It's like I said, it's a lot of fun, and it's a little bit different for me. But since my husband and I started riding bikes,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a lot of research.
So is that how you got your idea for the book, is just from your hobby?
Yeah, actually I did. Never been a bike rider before in all my, not going to mention how many years I've been alive, but my husband bought a bike 2 years ago and forced me to get on the back of it. And, you know, I spent like the first 6 months on the back, you know, with the, you know, clutching death grip, you know, riding down the road with him, I'm going to die. And, you know, after a while, I started to really enjoy it. And all that time spent on the back of the bike is a lot of time spent plotting books. So that's where I got the idea for the series.
Now, what kind of bike did you guys just get? Because I know you guys have one now, and which was, you know, came about around the same time. So what kind do you have?
We have a Harley 1200. It's a Sportster.
Right. Now, let's see.
You said you have your own bike now, too, or?
No. Oh, hell no.
I'm trying to picture you controlling one of those.
You know, all decked out in leather, driving your Harley.
I get all decked out in leather, and I am content to ride on the back.
Yeah. You know, I don't
know
how
you
do it. Those scare me. I don't know how you do it.
Well, you know, like I said, the first 6 months were pretty hard for me, and it was just adjusting, but now I love it. I plug in my iPod, and, you know, I put my little beanie on, and I sit in the back and let him do all the driving, and I just listen to music and think about stories, and it's a great place to plot.
You know, Shane, if you're listening, never in a million freaking years would I get on the back of a bike with you driving.
He dashed all his plans, you know.
I know.
He was getting excited going bike shopping.
He has a good biker look to him, but no one would get – don't even be in the area if he's in a parking lot that's empty with it, seriously. Now, you said
oh,
you
have some training wheels.
Now, you said
yeah, there you go.
Another
they do make three – they do make three-wheelers.
Do they? I need one of those. Do they have, like, six-wheelers? I'm super steady. Look. Oh.
Usually it's the little little old lady grandmas that ride around on the three-wheelers, though.
What about one of those sidecar things? Those things are awesome.
They are very cute. We go to a lot of bike rallies and the Christmas parades and stuff where all the bikers ride around, and then you see a lot of the three-wheelers, and they are very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else see Mandy in her, like, little green army helmet in the sidecar? Nobody else?
With the spike on top?
Yeah. Unless you're on for dear life, making, you know, her husband go 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You're going too fast.
Okay, now back on this. You said the next book is what in the series? What's it called again?
Writing Temptation.
Okay, and that's whose book?
That's Jesse and Diaz.
Okay, and then is there another book following, or?
Yeah, there'll be another book. I have three books contracted so far. So the third book is Writing on Instinct, and that's tentatively releasing in April of 2009.
Okay. And what's book two about?
That will be Spencer's story, and that one takes place in New Orleans and involves drug smuggling and rogue DEA agents.
Okay, now I'm dying, in addition to having the Harley and that, how you came up with everything, I mean, how your mind works with coming up with the agency and everything, because this is just great, so I'm dying to know more about it.
It's really strange. You know, I'll sit there for a while and think, I need a plot. And sometimes I'll sit for a really long time and think, I need a plot. You guys know how that goes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the plot will just, like, fall into your lap, or you'll wake up one morning or sit at your desk and think, oh, I have this great plot. And sometimes you could sit there for a month and think, I don't have a plot. I'm so screwed. I actually got the idea for the book. And that, you know, fell pretty much into place. But Charlie, my husband, is really helpful with that because he's been in the military and, you know, he follows a lot of what goes on with the government and things like that. So he really helps to brainstorm plot lines with me. And we'll just sit down and we'll say, okay, we've got these two people and this is what they need to do. And, of course, he's pretty well immersed in the biker culture. So it's just pretty much just a meshing of the two. We've got bikers and we've got the government and we've got these agents. Now what happens in this story? So he's pretty instrumental in helping me plot the books.
And I think that's great, you know, as a husband and wife team, to have that thing that you can do together and discuss.
Now, he not only helps you plot them, has he not actually co-authored with you before?
We wrote a couple books together,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was interesting.
Did he like the plotting or the writing better?
He really enjoys plotting with me. Writing, you know, was fun, sort of. he of course works full time, and you know it was difficult for us to find time together to actually get the books written, which is why we've only done two, because it's like, you know, you have to wrestle and tackle and say, okay, it's your part, write your part now you have to write your part. So that was a little bit more difficult and took a little bit more time for us to actually write a book together, so we didn't want to do that again.
Now, which ones have you written together? What are the titles?
Tangled Web. We wrote two books for Alora's Cave together, Tangled Web and Out of the Darkness.
Okay. And I have to say, Out of the Darkness cover. We have to talk about that a moment. Okay. Fill us in on the behind the scenes of the Out of the Darkness cover.
Yes, Out of the Darkness cover. Charlie and I were at the Romantic Times convention somewhere. I don't even remember where it was, actually. But it was at the Vampire Ball. And somebody took a picture of us, you know, dressed up in our vampire gear. And it was a really cute picture because I had tilted my head back and, you know, he had his little fake fangs in and was pretending to bite me on the neck. And I looked at the picture and I thought, this picture is great. Wouldn't that make a great cover to a book? And it turned out that Alora's Cave was nice enough to make that the cover of the Out of the Darkness. So we're on the cover of the book.
And very sexy, guys. I'm very envious of her. Woman.
Yes, we are immortalized on the cover of a book.
Yeah.
I was very excited.
She has a great body. I mean, dear God, just come here while I smack you.
It's all in the photoshopping, honey. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I'd like to be blonde with blue eyes, please. Thanks.
Yes, please.
Now, you have got some other stuff coming up from everybody. We've got some stuff from Samhain, too, right? And something just released recently?
My last Samhain release was a holiday novella that came out in December,
mm-hmm.
and that was called Unwrapped, and that released right at the beginning of December, I believe,
okay.
And that was a menage story. And that'll be out actually in print this September. They're putting it in print with Lauren Dane's To-Do List. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
So it'll be two holiday stories out in print together.
It's Unwrapped. Yeah,
Unwrapped. And that's a story of two attorneys that worked together on an acquisition in Hawaii over the Christmas holidays. And he finds a letter from her telling what her fantasy is, and her fantasy is to have a menage. So he's had the hots for her for a while, and he actually arranges to fulfill her fantasy with one of his friends, and because he's actually in love with her. And it's a really hot, fun little story, Hawaii over the holidays. I really had a good time writing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to tell you guys this. It's kind of funny. Michelle hung up because of the crackling issue. We assume it's – we thought maybe it was one of our phones that was going on. And we think it's actually
Blog
Talk Radio. And get this. She can't get back in. Blog Talk is giving her error messages saying there's a system problem.
Oh, no.
Oh, she said, I'm really sorry, JC. And, yes, I love Demon Island. Michelle.
Oh, I'm sorry, too. But thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, if anybody wants to call in and they can actually get through, the number is 646-595-3998. It's a New York number, blah, blah, blah. You've all heard the spiel before, so you know it by heart. You can follow the trail on the ravenhappyhour.com and end up in our chat room, which I forgot to pull up the window for, so if you ask a question there. Shit, I'm sorry. Okay. Now, I'd like to take a second and talk with you a little bit about your fairy books, which are some of my favorite books by you. And I know that we're excited to talk about them, but I'm queen now. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about your fairy series for me?
Okay. Gosh, I haven't talked about these in a while. I wrote a fairy series for Alora's Cave. It's called the Kismet series. And I've written three books for the series so far. The first one is Winterland Destiny. The second is Fiery Fate, and the third is Aftermath. The first two books are available in print, in a print combination called Kismet, Frost, and Fire. All three are, of course, available through Alora's Cave in ebook, but the first two are the only ones available in print right now. It's a really fun series. It's about a fictional kingdom called Danath. And in the first book, Noelle, the fairy princess, is betrothed to Garrick, the elven king of Winterland. And so it's basically fairies and elves. And all the stories kind of work through the fairy, the elf kingdom, although the third book, the fairy princess has to marry a human. So it's really a lot of fun, pure fantasy with kind of a historical flair to it.
So when is the book with another king that apparently was unknown, he may be a long-lost brother, and Mandy going to happen?
Well, actually, I have a story for Mandy in mind. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen in the elven world or the fairy world. Sorry, Mandy.
If I get to have hot sex with a paranormal guy, I'll take it. I don't care what happens.
Oh, I'm working on it for you, Mandy.
Too much. I need a whip sound effect.
Yeah, you do.
So now that we're moving over into the Demon Island stuff, you want to talk about that a little bit and tell us about it?
Sure. My Demon Hunter series is out through in mass market paperback through Bantam Dell. The first is Surviving Demon Island, and that's available now, and so is the second book, Hunting the Demon. This is basically the story of the Realm of Light, which are a group of demon hunters that their job is to find and destroy demons who are controlled by the Sons of Darkness, which is a group of 12 demons who are basically the minions of Lucifer. And they hide out and don't walk during, don't walk in daylight. So the demon hunter's job is to find and destroy them. The first book takes place on a tropical island, and the hero, Derek, is one of the main demon hunters, and the heroine, Gina, is actually an A-list actress, and she's brought to the island under the guise of starring in a reality show. But what the reality show is a test to bring in new demon hunters, and they want to test some of the best of the best as far as people with physical prowess. But there's also a reason that they've brought these people to the island, and I won't give that reason away. You have to read the book and figure out why they've brought these particular people to the island. But it's basically a lot of action, adventure, suspense, paranormal, and, of course, steamy sex.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. This is perfect.
Yeah. You gotta have the hot stuff.
Hell yeah.
It's not erotic romance, but I try and keep it as steamy as possible.
I love her too because she doesn't take any shit from him.
No, she definitely doesn't. I mean, she's very she's vulnerable, but she's also very strong, very kick ass. I love her. She's one of my favorite heroines.
Right. She's one of mine too because seriously, she didn't come in with, "Oh, poor me. Oh my gosh, I'm on this thing and it's so horrible." She's like, "We're getting this done and we're doing it my way," you know.
She's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed her.
Yeah, and now book two. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, Hunting the Demon takes picks up right where Surviving Demon Island left off. And the main hero in the story is Derek's brother, Nick. They actually go hunting for Nick. And Nick is, I'd have to determine if Nick is a bad guy or a good guy to determine whether he is like a demon or, whether he's going to take over the demon side or the human side. Shay is one of the demon hunters, and her job is to kind of guard Nick and figure out whose side Nick is on. And Shay also has some special paranormal qualities of her own.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of them, kind of really hit it off, but also have a lot of trust issues together. And then, of course, there's the demons that get involved in that. And, she's acting as bait, and he's got, his own plans in mind, plus his own internal demons that he has to fight. And then, so it's another, a lot of action, a lot of adventure. This one takes place in Australia, so I had a lot of fun with this one.
I remember you working on it, and it did seem like it was a lot of fun. You always seem to have a lot of fun with whatever you're doing, though. That makes
yeah, you know, they're fun to write, and then they're also torture because, there's so much that goes on. These books are very plot-heavy. They have secondary plot lines because there's also, like, a secondary romance in every book,
right.
Because I'm trying to draw in the next couple who's going to be featured in the next book. So they're very intense, but also so much fun to write. I'm writing one right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I was just going to start prying information out of you, so come on, babe, share.
Yeah, the next book coming up, actually at the end of October, is The Darkest Touch. And, they're taking a little bit of a departure with the cover, with the title. They've taken Demon out of the title. They've changed the covers around a little bit. Hopefully I'll be able to put the cover up shortly. I'm waiting for back cover copies so I can put those up at the same time. This one is Ryder and Angelique's story, and that one takes place in Italy. So I had a blast researching that one. But in that one, it focuses a lot on Angelique and her sister Isabel and what their involvement is in the whole structure between the realm of light and the Sons of Darkness. And then the next book after that is tentatively titled The Darkest Temptation. That's the one I'm writing now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're heading to New Orleans for that one. So that's the first book that I actually set in the U.S.
Now,
and there's going to be that one's going to be Dalton, who's one of the demon hunters, and Angelique's sister, Isabel. And I won't talk too much about that one yet.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait. I love these books, and I don't know. I mean, just the whole thing, the mythology with how you've set it up and the demons and the this and that, it's really intriguing. And it was really fun how you introduced it all with the reality show, because those are just so popular. And, I mean, they've just, like, swept through television land. And I don't know. It's just such a unique twist to take with it. So I'm excited.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Thank you. I am, too. I'm really having a lot of fun with this series.
That was a hint for it to be in my inbox later.
Well, Mandy is in these books, in the third. Yes, she's in the third and especially the fourth book.
I'm taller
and and Mandy's very tough and such a smartass. And, I just don't know where I get that character from.
I have no idea. I'm like the sweetest person I know.
Yeah, sure you are.
I need to get out more, huh? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have got all this stuff going, and how do you juggle everything? Because, like you said, you're writing for Berkeley, you're writing for Baton Rouge, you're writing for Sam Hain, you've got things that are still, trickling out with EC, and that. How do you do this all and not go nuts?
I have a calendar. really, it does require a lot of careful planning. I plot out my year in advance. I know exactly when my deadlines are. I try really hard not to let anything overlap, although it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, I know what I have to do. I know when it's due. I also know myself and my writing schedule very well. So I know how much I can write in a day, in a week, in a month. I know how long it takes to write a novella. I know how long it takes to write a single title. I know what my minimums and maximums are if I get pressed for time. I know I can write a novella in 2 weeks if I have to. I'd rather have a month. I know I can write a single title in 2 months if I'm pressed for time. I'd rather have 5 months to do it. So So, you know, I know what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not capable of doing. So that really helps. You know, I've been writing long enough to know what my capabilities are, and that's really helpful, because sometimes a book will just write itself and it's really easy and I can knock it out and then I have some extra time. And a lot of times it doesn't write itself and it's very hard to put it out, and I know I'm going to need that extra time, so I allow that in my schedule.
Right, right. And other things crop up.
Hopefully.
Yes,
you know, life happens.
Exactly. Now, do you set yourself like a word limit a day, like a word achievement you want to get to each day on count-wise so you can stay on track, or do you just let it flow and what you get done one day you get done and what you get done the next day you get done?
No, actually, I have to set word count goals. Once I get into the guts of the story and I'm really starting writing and I know when that book is due, when I need to have it finished because I have to start the next book, then I start my word count goals. And I'll take the book's total word count, where I'm at today, and know when I need to finish. And then I'll just divide it out and say, okay, I need to do this many words a day to have that book done and still allow enough time to edit the book and have it done and into my editor on time. Mm-hmm. So right now, the book I'm writing, I know I need to do 2,000 words a day. And I do 2,000 words a day, and I don't finish until that's done, no matter what else is going on. You know, I may have those 2,000 words done by 10 in the morning, and I may not have those 2,000 words done until 9 o'clock at night, but mm-hmm. those 2,000 words will get done that day, no matter what.
Now, I have a question. They
have
about,
to.
Because you're on the deadline, and you don't mess around, especially with the New York deadlines in that
day. And frankly, it doesn't matter what the deadline is.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I have a book due to an editor. I have to have that done, you know, and that's what my word count goal is.
Right. Now, your writing environment, do you do like in an office? Do you kick back on the couch? Do you mix it up? How do you handle it all?
Yeah. Everywhere. You know, I start out at, I have a desk in, actually it's in my dining room. I used to sit in an, I have a room in my house that's set up as an office, but it's dark and like dungeon-like in there, and I didn't like it. I like my dining room because it's very light and open in there. So I moved my desk and my computer in the dining room because I like being out with my husband and, you know, where the family is and everything. So I sit there, I start there in the morning at the desktop, and then I'll get tired of sitting there, so I'll move everything to my laptop, sit on the couch at night and watch TV, you know, with my feet propped up. And you know, sometimes I'll sit in bed and write, you know, just I can sit out in, you know, any room with my laptop propped up on my lap and write. So I'm pretty easy. You know, once I'm on a writing roll, it really doesn't matter where I am. I've got a one of those converters that you can plug into the adapter in the car, and I can plug in my laptop in the car and write there.
Oh, I get like sick when I do that. I don't know. I get like motion sickness when I drive.
Oh, yeah, as long as we're not going on any curvy roads. You know, if we're on the highway or something where we're heading straight, I'm fine. If we hit the curvy roads, forget it.
Right. And I've tried to go work around my house like during the day or when everyone's home and that, and it's seriously, it's ducking from Nerf balls. It's, you know, mom. So I barricade myself in and put in earplugs and hope no one comes. So I admire anyone who can work with their family near them.
Well, see, you have little kids, though, and I don't, so there's the difference.
Yeah, but most of the time
it's
my
husband. I just have to dodge dogs.
Yeah, now, how many dogs do you have? Because you actually have a few.
Five.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice. I'm like, a few.
Yeah, but three of them live outside. I mean, they have a nice, you know, insulated doghouse. They live outside all the time, so they don't really bother me.
Riley. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And then the two little ones live inside.
Yeah, now,
so they're the ones that, you know, as soon as I'm on the couch, you know, one of them's got her paws on the laptop, you know, because it's warm.
Right.
You know, they want to lay on the laptop.
Michelle's asking, what kind of animals or what kind of dog? She wants to know. She's a big dog lover. She's a big animal.
Okay, the big one is Buddy. He weighs like 100 pounds. He's a full black lab, but thinks he's a chihuahua.
I'm a lap dog.
Yeah, he thinks he's a lap dog.
Yeah.
And then we have Lucy. She's half lab, half Australian Shepherd, and she's fat. We call her Fat Lucy, but she's, you know, because she waddles when she tries to run.
Oh.
Yeah, she has bad hips and is grossly overweight, but we adore her. She's just the sweetest little thing. And then we have Neurotic Sam. He's a terrier mix, and, you know, if he gets too excited, he pees everywhere. Yeah, he's lovely. You just have to back up a lot.
Yeah. What?
And then Those are the three outside dogs. And then the two inside dogs are Jazz and Bella. They're half Maltese and half Dachshund, so they're just little dogs.
Who rule the roost, right?
They like to think so.
Yeah, exactly. They're like two little kids. I've heard you dealing with them before, and I've seen the pictures. They're adorable.
They are. They're very cute. They're my little babies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Michelle wants to know if you have any kind of other animal.
Well, I used to have a fish, but he died. And then I've had several fish, and then I kept telling Charlie every time that fish would die, no more fish, but he kept bringing another fish home. And then I finally convinced him the last time, if you bring me another fish home, I'm going to take it and flush it. Because, of course, I'm always cleaning the tank, and, you know, it's such a mess. Because it was just a betta,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, it just kind of existed in this tank. And I didn't want to have to deal with another fish. So we're fish-free right now, fortunately.
You had heard what happened to Michelle's betta, right, where it fell down the sinkhole when she was cleaning its little, like, bowl.
Oh, no. No,
yeah.
I didn't hear this.
And it was in the disposal. And
oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. What am I going to do? And the dishwasher started to back up, you know. And
oh, no.
Here it comes with its, like, soapy water up, and here comes the betta. And it's fine. I mean, this thing is fine. It went through, like, hell and back, and it's actually, you know, better for it. I'm just thinking, it's the only fish we know that can live through soapy detergent water, go down, come up, have the threat of being chopped into pieces.
Betas are tough. I mean, you know, I have to admit, our betas, every time I had one, he would last, like, 2-3 years, which is pretty good for a fish like that.
Yeah.
Especially for me, who, you know, puts off cleaning the tank until there's like a quarter of an inch of water left at the bottom, and the fish is like, I'm dying.
I'm in a puddle, help. We're going through a small thing here at the Roth House with a fish tank that my husband insisted upon, which actually could house a body and I believe could be the aquarium here in Northeast Ohio. It's that big. Yeah, we're going through a little thing about where to put it and what to put in it. I have some suggestions, which revolve around sticking it where the sun doesn't shine, and he doesn't seem to think it will fit there.
Imagine that.
I know. It's crazy. So I'm not sure.
Well, you know, yeah, men have a totally different concept of let's get a fish than a woman does.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, let's bring the ocean into the house.
Exactly. And he did. He wanted saltwater fish to start with, and quite a few people, including Angela James from Samhain. I'm going to plug you, so stop. Ha! She's been yelling at me, and I am, about a comment I made. She was like, you don't want to do it. No way, no how. Don't do it. She said, because you're going to be the one who ends up having to take care of him. She's totally right. So she actually talked my husband down off that ledge, so I have to thank her for that.
Yeah, saltwater fish, I'm thinking barnacles and, you know, all kinds of bad things.
If I could raise a shark, fine, maybe. That would be kind of cool. But anything about
that would be cool.
Yeah. So now you've got what coming out next? I want to make sure we get this all in before we have to go.
Next coming up is actually one of my Samhain books, Nothing Personal, will be out in print in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another Samhain book that I previously mentioned. My book Unwrapped will be out in a print combo with Lauren Dane's To-Do List. That'll be called Holiday Seduction, and that comes out in September.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a crap load of books coming out all at one time, of course, because that's always the way it works.
Yes.
Writing Temptation in October. And then followed immediately at the end of October by The Darkest Touch. And then after that, let's see.
Do you have Dare to Love somewhere in there?
Yes, Dare to Love. Thank you, Mandy. You know, I have all this written down somewhere. You should see. I've got my desk, and I've got Dare to Love is out in July. Angie's on Here I Am. Dare to Love, July, dumbass.
I can't take credit for Dare to Love. Michelle's and I am going, Dare to Love, July.
This is what happens when I have too many books coming out at one time. My mind is going completely blank. It's like, crap, what do I have coming out this year? Crap. You know, if I'd open up my schedule on my website, I could see what I have coming out this year. Dare to Love is coming out in ebook with Samhain in July.
Yes.
I knew there was something in between. I couldn't remember what it was. That's romance from Samhain. I'm still writing on that one. I'm very excited about it. It's a very sweet story. It's about a construction worker and a lawyer heiress set in San Francisco, and just basic, sweet, contemporary love story about these two people that meet on the street, basically, and her father wants her to marry this other attorney and kind of like build this dynasty. And she wants nothing to do with it, of course. She wants to fall in love on her own and find the guy of her dreams. And then she meets this construction worker, and they end up kind of setting this bet, and he's going to help her kind of show her father that she can date whoever she wants. So she starts dating this construction worker who her father thinks is, of course, completely unsuitable for her. And, you know, of course, one thing, turns to another, and they end up falling in love. And, you know, so it's a very cute story, and I'm really having fun writing it.
Yeah, you know, we're getting told again and again that the crackling is, you know, it's horrible on this. And we have figured out it's not our phones, but I think it's the Blog Talk Radio problem itself because, well, they know there's a problem. That's all I have to say about that. Anywho, we're going to have you on again when, you know,
okay.
It actually works. And then we can talk about it all again. And this time everyone can hear it all. That will be amazing.
That sounds great to me. We'll just do it again.
Yeah, now you have also got Sneak Peek, correct, with Shelley Bradley?
Yes, that comes out in January.
Okay. Yeah, I'm bouncing all over the place because I'm getting assistance from like 14 IMs now from people. Like, I kid you not.
Yes, I have Sneak Peek coming out in January, and then I also have a Berkeley anthology coming out in December called Unlaced. That'll have Joey Hill and Jasmine Haynes and Denise Rossetti and myself in an anthology together.
You land the best anthology, buddy. Seriously, what are you doing?
I know.
I just want to check and say landing just right. What's happening here?
Yeah, I have the luck of the draw, I'll tell you. I've been very lucky.
She got here to the
best. Hey, I'd take you guys in an anthology. We've always talked about doing that, haven't we?
Yes, we have, yes. Yeah, so I've done a few. I've been in with Shannon Stacy and that with Talons. Plugging
yes.
A friend of ours who's very good but would never in a million years think to plug herself. Yeah.
Yes. Well, see, you know, you've got the M&Ms going, so I'll just have to change my name to Macy.
Yeah. Now we can be like MJM. There we go. It's perfect. It fits.
We can yeah, there you go. M&Ms
oh.
And M&M.
Oh, Angie said she closed it, so don't say mean things about her because she can go back later and listen.
Yes, I
Let
see
the
that.
Let the stalking begin.
Oh, yeah, that Angie, boy.
Yeah, she's a good sport. She's our editor, and she's fabulous, and yeah.
Yes, we love her to pieces. We
yes. We
wouldn't be able to write good books without her.
No.
She's
she
wonderful.
She will whip it into shape, and she'll zap me like you would not believe. I hear her in my shoulder when I write that. Do you need that there?
Yes, pick that
like,
out.
She's like Jiminy Cricket. It's just, ugh.
I know. Every time I edit one of my books and I see a bat, I think of Angie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
What would Angie do? Would Angie take that bat out?
We need bumper stickers, WWAD. What would Angie do?
That's right.
Some bracelets, the whole work. You know she's going to yell at us later for this, but this is too good to read.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. And, okay, Michelle's prompting me on other things. The Darkest Temptation, I think we've already talked about that.
Yes.
Crimson Tides. I don't remember talking about that.
Crimson Tides is another Samhain book I've contracted. We don't have a release date for that yet. That's actually a paranormal erotic romance that I'll be writing one of these days when I get through all of these other things that I have finished. And it's about a vampire and werewolf culture and how these two get together, and I'm not going to talk much about that yet because I haven't finished writing the book yet. But
I'm very excited about this one, so you must hurry. Thank you. I just wanted to share that.
I will work on that. I'm actually scheduled to finish that book up later this year, so hopefully it'll be out with Samhain sometime early next year.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed. You have stuff planned out until seriously, like my children are going to be in college. I don't know how you do it. I'm always excited when I think of what I'm going to do, you know, next month. Anything else.
Oh, not quite that far, although, you know, since it's only February, it seems that far out to me. It's like, okay, I got to write this book and then this one and this one and this one and this one. But you know how that is. I mean, you do that too.
Yeah.
Every author does. I mean, and you don't ever want to think, what am I going to do now? I mean, you always want to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 books planned out that you're going to write next because
right. You
never want to think, oh, I don't have anything to write.
Right. I will.
You always want to have...
Yeah, every now and then I get like a day or two off where I don't have anything to do, and I feel so incredibly lost for those 2 days. Like, I don't have a purpose, I need to aim, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, my husband and I are actually planning two weeks off in August, and, you know, like, no laptop, you know, no work at all, and I'll probably have to bring Xanax with me. or at least a notebook, you know, so I can make notes or, you know, write longhand or something, because I can't recall the last time I had 2 whole weeks off.
Now, I think your history with your writing and how long you've been doing it for is pretty interesting, because I know that you took a break and didn't pursue it for a while. Can you talk a little bit about that before we go?
Yeah, I always dabbled a little bit in writing when I was younger, and, you know, I was raising children and working and going to college, and because I did college, you know, the long way. It took me 20 years to get my degree. I did it, you know, after I got married, after I had kids, and I went to school part-time, and and then I worked, I had a career, I raised my kids, and, you know, dabbled a little bit here and there. I joined Romance Writers of America and, you know, co-wrote a little bit with a friend of mine, and then I just kind of dropped it. You know, I always loved reading, loved romance, but never really pursued it seriously. And then when I got a divorce and remarried, my husband, Charlie, said, you know, we were talking, and I told him I used to write, and he said, why'd you stop? And I told him why, and he said, well, you should start again. And so I did. I dabbled a little bit, and I found, you know, plotted a story and found one I really liked, and that was the first time I actually sat and wrote an entire book. And it kind of escalated from there, and that's, you know, when my writing career really took off. So, you know, I kind of started late, but it, you know, really kicked into high gear after that. So better late than never.
Exactly. You've had an amazing amount of support from him. I'm really impressed. I mean, I know a ton of authors. I know a ton of authors' husbands are very supportive, but Charlie does take it a step further. He really does just seem to totally support your decisions on things. He gets in there. He whips them into shape with you. He really invests a lot of time into it, and he's very supportive of you.
He's incredibly supportive. I wouldn't have been able to do what I do without him. I mean, he's the first one to tell me when he walks in the door, he'll IM me while he's at work. Did you hit your writing goal yet today? You know, I mean, he's the man with the whip. I mean, you know, he knows what I need to do, and he's 100% supportive. He'll fix meals for me if I'm on deadline. And, you know, I mean, he's there for me 100%, and I couldn't do this without him. He's great.
Are you listening, Shane? Yeah, you're in trouble just for no reason when you get home, just because, yeah. He's going to like be like, I'm sorry, baby, I got to work over tonight. I can't make it right away. Oh, my gosh. But thank you for taking time out and joining us. And, of course, the crackling would start to ease in the last, like, bit of the show, you know.
Of course.
But
thanks so much for having me. I've had a blast. And, yes, we'll have to do this again.
Yeah.
I really had a good time.
Because I'm getting IMs from people. They can't call in. They're having a problem getting in. So we've definitely got to have you back on where they can talk to you and all this stuff, because, well, pretty much they'll boycott us and hurt us with pitchforks because they're like that. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'd love to.
Thank you very much. And next week, guys who are listening, we're going to have Jacqueline Frank on. She's going to be stopping by to talk with us again about our Nightwalker series, and I think she's going to treat us to some excerpts in that. And I don't know. I don't know why the lady likes hanging out with us. I don't like hanging out with us, but hey, whatever. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Mandy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Jeff.